Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, to the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus teaching us how to pray, the Lord's Prayer. We're considering tonight the third petition, Your Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. And there is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to use that. Some of them, it's Microsoft Word's version of the outline. It has points 7 through 12. I'm not sure how that happened, but this is not part 2 of this sermon. This is supposed to be 1 through 6. So also, don't worry, there's not 12 points tonight. So I'm going to read the prayer itself, verses 9 through 13, and then I'm going to have us turn over and look at some verses in chapter 7, which speak about doing God's will, verses 12 through 27, not merely hearing God's word or knowing God's will, but doing it. So let's give our attention now to the word of God. We'll begin reading at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'll turn forward to another part of this same sermon, Matthew 7, and we'll begin reading at verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word, and let's stop and pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel of Matthew and for Jesus preaching and teaching here. Lord, your word is able to make us wise unto salvation. It gives us everything we need for faith and life. And so let us hear your word tonight. Let us receive it with joy and understanding. Let us know how to live by it. Build up our faith in you as our Heavenly Father. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have before us tonight the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. We are almost halfway through. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And tonight, I'm just going to jump right in with little introduction because there's a lot of ground that I want us to cover tonight. What does this petition mean? What are we asking for here? Why does Jesus teach us to pray this? What does it mean for us now? How ought we to live in light of this prayer that we're taught by Jesus? And I want us to look at 6 points tonight to help unpack and apply this third petition. And so let's focus our hearts and our minds together on this and listen to Jesus' instruction here. And first, I want us to see that in order to pray this petition with understanding and faith, we need to understand the Bible's use of God's will. Understand what is meant by God's will. What does that mean? Well, there are two main ways the Bible speaks of God's will. There is his will of decree, and there is his will of precept. Or another way to think about it is his hidden will and his revealed will. Or his will that's manifested in his works and his will that's manifested in his word. God's hidden will or his will of decree is all that he has foreordained to come to pass. What he has planned and what he has willed in his sovereign wisdom beforehand that he brings about in time and history. Ephesians 1 verse 1 speaks of this. It says, God works all things according to the counsel of his will. That is his will of decree. This will is not revealed to us. It's hidden, and so we don't know what it is until it happens. But this petition is not primarily about this will of God, the hidden will of God, his decreed will. His decreed will always comes about on earth just as it does in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean we can't pray for that. We can't pray for God's hidden will to be done. And I think we ought to pray for God's hidden will to be done, especially when we don't know what the future holds. And so we can pray that way and be ready to submit to his will. But I think this petition is primarily focused on God's will of precept, what God has revealed to us, his revealed will. That is what he tells us he wants us to do. What he tells us his will really is in his word, based on what he says is good and right and true. Hebrews 13, 21 and Romans 2, verse 2, which you heard earlier tonight, are two examples of where the Bible speaks of God's preceptive will. What he has revealed as good and right and pleasing to him. And there's some other verses in your outline I've listed there, as well as some catechism questions to take a look at. Some of those verses talk about God's hidden will. Some of them talk about his revealed will. But his revealed will is not hidden. It's published. We can know it by his word. And we ask that it would be done on earth. And we ask that in this petition because it's often not done on earth. We rebel against his revealed will. We often don't know it or do it. And so we're focused in this petition on God's revealed will, his will that he has given to us in his word, that he's made clear for us. And so with that footing of what we're talking about when we refer to God's will, let's move on to the second point, which is you also need to recognize the state of your will, or recognize the condition of your will. To make this third petition, we need to understand the character and nature of our will. Because of man's fall into sin, by nature we are utterly unable to know and do the will of God, and we rebel against it. We are inclined to do the will of the flesh, the will of the devil, not God's will. And when we speak of the bondage of the will, this is what we're talking about. God created man with free will originally, with the ability to choose actions as moral free agents. But after sin entered the world, we are now totally depraved. We inherit a sinful nature that affects our wills, such that they are now in bondage to sin. They are enslaved to sin, and so they do not and they cannot choose to do God's will. They freely choose, but they always choose their own will. They always choose sin and unbelief and rebellion, rejection of God and His good will. Romans 8, verse 7 teaches that apart from God's grace, we are hostile to God. We do not submit to Him and His law, and we cannot please Him. We can't, in ourselves, in our sinful nature, do God's will. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 4 says that we are dead in sins, and we carry out only the desires of our sinful wills. And so you see, apart from God's grace, we are neither able nor willing nor interested in doing His will. Our wills are captive to Satan and to our sinful self, and we deserve God's just judgment. And yet, thanks be to God, by the gospel, by the work of Christ, God frees us from our state of death and bondage. And He renews our wills. He regenerates our hearts. He saves us by grace. He recreates us in Christ for good works to know and do the will of God. And that's why Paul goes on in Ephesians to call the Ephesians to know and do the will of God as sinners saved by grace. And this is a big part of what's often referred to as Christian liberty. Our freedom or our liberty from being slaves to sin and death. Our wills being set free to know and love God. It's freedom from the penalty of our sin. It's freedom from being bound by our sinful wills, doing only our will and not God's. It's freedom purchased by the perfect life and death of Jesus. Christian liberty is not, I am free to live as I will and I please. I'm free to be a law unto myself. No, it's, I'm now freed from sin and death and hell. I'm freed from myself, from my captive sinful will, freed to live for God's glory, to actually do His will out of love and gratitude, freed to pray this petition and pursue this prayer and see God answer it. And so recognize, brothers and sisters, the state of your will, both apart from and by God's grace. And that leads us to consider third tonight, that this petition calls you to pray and to seek to learn God's will. Learn God's will from God's word. In order to do God's will, as we're asking here in this petition, we need to know what that is. We need to learn that. We don't naturally or automatically know the will of God. And even when our wills are renewed by God, by the Holy Spirit, our old sinful nature resists the will of God. But God's revealed His will in His word, and He calls us to come to know it through that means. Now, we can have a sense of God from His created world. We can have a sense of right and wrong by the law written on our hearts, but we suppress that, and we do not act according to that. And really, that general revelation is inadequate. We need the Word of God, His special revelation, to reveal His full will to us. And we have that in His Word. We need to learn God's will from His Word. And God's will expressed in His Word is that we see our sin and repent of our sins, that we trust in Christ, that we believe the gospel, and that we then bear fruit by His grace with renewed wills, becoming conformed to Jesus Christ, that we live for Him. As the Shorter Catechism puts it, the Bible teaches us what we are to believe about God and what duty God requires of us. It teaches us God's will for faith and for life. But God's Word is a big, long, and deep book. It's far from simple. It requires careful and diligent and lifelong study. It calls for us to become students, students of His Word, disciples of Christ. As we heard in Romans 12 already, we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that by testing we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is a process of transformation. It's a difficult, lifelong process in which we humbly seek to learn God's will in His Word and be transformed by it. Psalm 143 says, "Make me know the way I should go. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God." To know and do God's will, we must be taught. We need to learn it. We need to come to know God's ways because we naturally don't, and we resist it. This is why Jesus, when he commissioned the church in Matthew 28, he sent them out to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that he has commanded, teaching them to know and do his will. We don't know God's will intuitively or automatically when we're saved. We become disciples of Jesus Christ, and a disciple is a student, a learner. And there's so much we have to unlearn. And we have to be unconformed to the world and be conformed to Christ. We have to be unconformed to our sinful will. And this requires humbly submitting ourselves to God's Word and His means for teaching us His will, not seeking to learn God's will on our own. God's way for us to learn His will is to learn it from His Word and to learn it within a community of fellow disciples, fellow brothers and sisters in a local church, through the teaching and preaching, the faithful teaching and preaching of God's Word, through pastors and elders called and equipped to train and shepherd the sheep and even correct at times. If you think you can learn God's will on your own, you're actually setting yourself up not to learn His will clearly, efficiently, or effectively. And I think that's a bit of a problem today. The internet is a blessing, but it's also made a lot of people think that they can just teach themselves from their own home. And that's not helpful. I had a professor that used to say the three prerequisites for good theology were humility, humility, and humility. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, "He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way." If you lack humility, if you're not teachable, if you try to go at it alone, you will struggle to learn God's will. And you can become discouraged and frustrated and easily misled. You will easily confuse your will with God's. You'll be ill-equipped to lead and teach others, and you will struggle to do God's will. And so don't make that mistake. Learn God's will from His Word with His people. It's also unwise to seek God's hidden will in this way as well, on your own. If you're needing direction for big life decisions that have to do with God's hidden will, where He hasn't made it clear in His Word, things like who to marry, your calling, your occupation, big life questions, this calls for wisdom and prayer. It calls for God's Word and also the counsel and input and wisdom of fellow believers and shepherds in the local church. And so, dear friends, are you learning God's will His way? Are you learning His will from His Word? Are you humble and teachable, or are you going at it alone? Pray that God would enable you and others to learn His will and seek to learn it with others through His Word and through his means. And then fourth this evening, this petition is a prayer for and a call to seek to do God's will. Seek to do God's will by God's grace. That's what we're asking God, that he would enable us to seek to actually do his will by his grace. Look again at verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. That word done, I think, is easy to miss. We're not asking here in this petition that we would merely know God's will, but that we would do it, that it would actually be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We read in Matthew chapter 7 how Jesus illustrates the folly of just hearing God's word but not doing it. That's like a fool building his house on sand. Jesus also in Matthew 7 warned against mere lip service, knowing and saying the right things. Chapter 7, verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In Colossians 1, verse 9 and following, Paul prayed that they would know God's will in order to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." And then he went on and explained what that meant, what they must do and not do in being conformed to Jesus Christ. And so you see, to pray this petition, "Your will be done," is to ask your Father, to ask God to enable you, not just to know his will, but to do it, to live it, to walk worthy of his calling, to please him, to turn from sin and live in holiness and be conformed to Jesus Christ. And this takes self-denial, surrender. This takes dying to ourselves, denying our own sinful will, saying, "God, your will be done, not mine. Help me to know your will and want it and do it, whatever it costs." This takes relying on his strength, on the power of the Holy Spirit, his grace. We cannot do his will without him, but he doesn't ask us to. He teaches us to pray to him, to ask him to help us to do his will. He gives us the grace we need to do his will. Philippians 2:13 strikes this balance. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Pray that God would help you do his will by his grace. Seek to do his will. Yes, not perfectly. Yes, not to earn his love, but bit by bit, more and more as he sanctifies you. Don't fall into the error that tries to remove all doing and duty and discipline from the Christian life, that says, "I can't be told what to do," that rejects doing of God's moral law, which expresses his will, and says, "Well, that inevitably leads to legalism. All that's required of us is to believe." That's really a misunderstanding of God and of the gospel. It mischaracterizes God as a cruel taskmaster. It denies that he's our loving Father, that his will is good, that he only asks what is best for us, what glorifies him, what brings us freedom and joy. It's actually a truncated view of grace. It forgets that God's grace does not only save us from hell, but begins to make us like Christ. It doesn't only justify us, it begins to sanctify us. Forgets that our new lives as Christians are lived in Christ, in union with him by his power, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Christ, we are new creations. the old will, the old man was crucified and buried with Christ, and now Christ lives in us as we live by faith in him. And while it is our duty to do God's will, it is also a delight and a privilege and a joy to see God answering this prayer and transforming us and empowering us. It's a means of glorifying him. Hebrews 10 says that Jesus took Psalm 40 on his lips, and we sang this earlier, and he said, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." For Jesus Christ and for us in him, doing God's will, doing God's law is not a cold, outward, legal burden, but it is a delight. It's a gift from God that he would enable us to do this in love for him. It's an act of love springing from new hearts. And so, brothers and sisters, ask your Father by his grace and by his Spirit to enable you to cheerfully do his will and seek to do his will with delight and love for him with all your strength and all your heart. But also recognize that you will not do it. You will not do his will fully and perfectly now on earth. And so, fifth, this evening, give thanks. Give thanks that Jesus did God's will on earth. What we pray for here in this petition was fulfilled perfectly by Jesus Christ. And when he says here, "Pray then like this," and instructs us in verse 10 to pray to the Father, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," Jesus did so knowing full well that none of us could do his Father's will. We rebel against it. We all fall short. We are guilty. We're lost. But Jesus came from heaven to do what we could not here on earth. He came from heaven to do God's will on earth. He was the one man who perfectly did the will of God. And Jesus knew he would do God's will on earth for sinful men who could not. He knew he would take the penalty for their disobedience by laying down his life. But he did this freely. He did this willingly for us. He said in John 6, verse 38, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And that meant never once doing his own will in sin. Never once. Not even in his heart. Never once going against his Father. Never once yielding to temptation. And ultimately it meant going to the cross. And Jesus knew this. So on the night he was betrayed, he prayed. He cried out to his Father. He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And a second time he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Jesus knew that praying this third petition would cost him his life. When Isaiah prophesied long before about Jesus, the suffering servant who would save sinners, Isaiah said, "Our sins would be laid on him, the spotless lamb." And verse 10 in Isaiah 53 says that it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. Brothers and sisters, give thanks that Jesus came from heaven to do God's will on earth for those of us on earth who cannot and do not do God's will and cannot get to heaven on our own. Thank God that he said, "Not my will, but yours." Thank God that he was crushed for you and that this was the Lord's will so that you might be saved. Look to him when you struggle to do God's will. Give thanks to him. And then sixth and finally tonight, because he did this, he's given us eternal life, and he has guaranteed that one day we will be perfected in glory And so, sixth and finally tonight, rejoice. Rejoice that you will do God's will in heaven. One day you will do God's will perfectly. Look again at verse 10 with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. It's easy to overlook this part of the petition, but it's vitally important. In heaven, the Father's will is done perfectly right now, with no hesitation, with no grumbling, with no resentment, with true love and devotion and delight. It's done without fail by the glorified saints, our brothers and sisters who are there in heaven right now, waiting their resurrected bodies. But it's also done, and especially done, by the angels, his heavenly servants, who have wills that never fell into sin, who do not have corrupted wills. And Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21 speaks of them, and we're going to sing this psalm shortly. It says, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. When you struggle to know and do God's will, when you keep praying this petition and stumbling and struggling, when it's hard and costly, when doing God's will is countercultural, when it means losing friends, when you don't want to deny yourself, think of those who no longer fight against their corrupt, sinful will in heaven. Think of the delight of the angels as they do his will in heaven. And take hope and rejoice that one day you will do his will perfectly and forever without fail. That's reason for joy and hope. That's reason to keep praying this petition with longing for that day, seeking to do his will, even now imperfectly, as you await that day when you will be glorified and fully sanctified, never again to do as you will against your Father's will, but to do as he wills and as you will, with perfect harmony of your will with his, with sheer delight. And so rejoice and look forward to heaven as you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, brothers and sisters, there's so much more to learn. There's so much more that could be said. That's part of the reason why I added a bunch of verses that I want you to look at there on the outline. But Jesus teaches you, he calls you, he calls us to pray to our Father in heaven, asking that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he even demonstrated this himself on earth, even though it meant laying down his life to give you life by faith in him. And in doing so, he calls you and he enables you to understand God's will as well as your own. He calls you to humbly learn and submit yourself to his will revealed in his word. He calls you to seek to do it in humble and loving obedience to him by his grace and for his glory. Calls you to give thanks that Jesus came from heaven and did his will on earth. And finally, to rejoice that one day soon you too will do his will perfectly forever with full joy and delight. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do rejoice and thank you and praise you that you sent Jesus from heaven to earth to do your will, because we cannot and we do not. We rejoice that we will one day soon do your will perfectly, even as the angels do now and as your people in heaven do. And we look forward to that day, but as we still battle with sin and fight the old man and our sinful wills, Father in heaven, enable us to do your will on earth as it is in heaven, for your glory, for our encouragement, for the blessing of our brothers and sisters, for the blessing of this world lost in darkness. And so, Lord, do this for your glory. Answer our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.